Tonight we want to talk about imagination. The Bible has a lot to say about the imagination, imagining things. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd, fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Took butter and milk, calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah, after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Father God, we just thank you for this word, which is instructive to us, that we might now understand how it is that we should come to imagine in a new way, in the biblical way, the things of God. How we must become a people of imagination. How we must use our imagination to grow our faith, to develop our faith, to build our faith. We must learn to picture in our minds, to image in our minds the very Word of God. And we thank you, Lord God, that tonight, as we look closely at the Word of God, behold, we will see something which will help us from this day forward to be stronger in faith, that our life and our walk might go forth with integrity to the very glory of God. And all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Dave, is it possible to get some water, maybe? I was reading this morning in my prayer time from John, the 5th chapter, and something struck me here that I never saw before. So if you would turn to John chapter 5. I believe the Lord wanted me to see this. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, starting at verse, I think maybe 29. Let's see, 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto the Pharisees, the Jews, Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself But what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I've always known that, but I never thought about it. I never looked at the words that carefully. Now, what Jesus is saying here is, as the Son of God, I never do anything except I've already seen Dad do it. I looked up into heaven, which is invisible. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also man here. It's invisible, and Jesus looked up, let's draw a line here, into the invisible realm, and he saw the Father doing something. Doing something. And, if we would go on, he also heard the Father speaking something. Speaking something. A and B. And down here, Jesus, before doing anything, looked up, and since it's not a physical thing, he had to imagine. He heard with his ear, and that's not a physical hearing. He didn't actually hear God say something with his physical ear. This is with the inner faith ear. So by the ear of faith, he heard the word of God by his, I'll just call it inner ear of faith. Inner ear of faith. And he saw the deeds of God, and he saw the acts of God. And I'm just going to put here imagination. Imagination. Now that's very interesting, because what God has been leading me to see is that many times we pray for something and we've never imagined it. We're just praying words. But the way to pray is to see what God is doing, to see what God is doing up in heaven. For example, if we pray for something but we really don't see it, then we don't have faith for it. We're just wishing. But when you can see God doing it according to His word or His will, then you know. You're not just praying vainly. Now, there is such a thing as vain imagination, and that's what the whole world lives under is vain imagination. Not one of their imaginations are substantial. Every imagination of the world is wicked and vain. Every. So there are vain imaginations, and among Christians, much of what we do is based on vain imaginations. Many of the things that we do also, say and think and do, are built on vain imaginations. So there's vain imaginations, and vain just means like a bubble that you pop, it's empty. And then there are substantial or real imaginations. So imagination is a good thing, but it can be used in two ways. It can be used to think vain things or to think true things. Now, Sarah had difficulty imagining what God said, so she laughed. She laughed. She could not imagine someone being 90 years old and no longer, she just could not picture that. She couldn't image it. She couldn't have a picture in her head. When the words were said, they didn't make sense. And she tried to imagine it, and it just got ridiculous, so she laughed. And then when the Lord called her on it, she said she didn't laugh, because it was ridiculous what he said. I mean, there are certain things that are imaginable, but some things are not imaginable. Now, the Word of God is always unimaginable. Everything that God has ever said in this Word, it doesn't seem this way, but if you'll give it some thought, you'll see that every story in here is unimaginable. For natural man, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. He can't imagine this. And that's why this book was written, to change your imagination, to help you to imagine something that you never imagined before. For example, if you're a sinner, to imagine that God would love you. That, to the world, is unimaginable. You see, in the world, if someone sins, and I'm not talking just about a specific act, but if they're really in our category of sinner, then we despise them, even if it's ourselves. We don't accept that. That's unacceptable, and we can't imagine that being all right. But God comes along and says, I came not for the righteous, which doesn't, you can't imagine that. I came not for the righteous. Well, who would he come for if he's a holy God? But I came for sinners. That's unimaginable. Two things he said that are unimaginable. I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. Well, that's what I thought he would have come for. I'm all mixed up in my head because I thought he would come for the righteous. And so half the world is trying to do right, and the other half is given up and just living in sin. But Jesus reverses everything and says, nope, your imagination is all wrong. You have vain imagination. And so Sarah had some real difficulty, but she wasn't the only one. You remember Abraham did the same exact thing. When he was told, you're going to have a child by Sarah. Now, he could imagine it could be by Hagar. I don't know how he could, to tell the truth. But that he could imagine. Hagar was no young thing either, you know. But anyway, he could imagine that. But that was so ridiculous to him, so difficult. And every story in the Bible is unimaginable. Every story in the Bible is unimaginable. You cannot show me a story that is easy to imagine. So obviously God is out to change your mind, to change your thinking, and that word in biblical terms is called repentance. It's called repentance. Metanoia. Metanoia, which is a Greek word, and that means to change, like metamorphosis or something, and this is from the word nous, which is mind, N-O-U-S, metanoia, to change your mind. To change your mind, that's repentance. To do that, somebody has to pose a possibility to you that you've not seen before. In other words, you're going down the road this way, and someone comes along and says, there's another way. And then you repent, and you have to imagine it before you can do this now. You have to imagine it before you can do it, and then you turn around and you can go another way. Now that's repentance. But to do that, you have to have an imagination. Now, this is how to read the Word of God then. You have to learn to imagine the Word. You have to use your imagination to read the Word of God. You have to imagine the Word. So the message tonight is on imagining the Word. Imagining the Word. And this is a very important thing for Christians to do so that their imaginations are not vain. Jesus could imagine someone being sick well. How? How did he imagine someone who was sick being well? If the doctor came along and examined him, the doctor would say, this man is sick. He would take all his tests and so on. But the doctor has no imagination. He just goes by sight, by instrument, by what he can see. Even the instruments that he reads are sight. So he has to go by observation. We call that science or something like that. Well, that's natural. That's what the natural man can do. He sees a disease and says, that's a disease. Very intelligent. But Christians don't do it that way. We're funny people. We don't think like that. We look at something and we don't see what we see. Oh, we see what we see, but we don't look at it that way. We ask God, God, what do you see here? What do you see here? I see I see a disease. What do you see? And you have to find out what God sees. And God says, I see a whole man. And when he saw that, Jesus, who had an imagination, would look up into heaven, so to speak, spiritually, and he would see God healing that man. At the right time, too. Not just in general, but in that very moment. And he would say, this one, so-and-so. Now, how do I know that he didn't imagine all men well? Very simply, because he didn't heal all men. Jesus did not heal all men. You remember the time that he walked into the pool of Bethesda. How many did he heal in the pool of Bethesda? One man. Why? Because that's all he imagined. Because that's what he saw God doing. How did he know? How did he know not to heal the others? There's no commandment against it.
Maybe he was the only one who had the imagination to believe that it would be possible to heal.
That's a good guess. But it just so happens that that story, the guy didn't have any imagination. That is the very story where the guy was griping and complaining and moaning, and even when Jesus tried to heal him, he resisted greatly. Oh, no one will, you know, and so on and so forth. He went on. He had no imagination. If there was ever a guy that had no imagination, it was that guy. But it's still good because you're right. You must imagine. And it took Jesus quite a thing to get that guy to imagine. He was probably the least guy that imagined in that whole place, and that's probably why he went to him, just for the same reason you're suggesting, but just the opposite. This guy had no imagination. You've met people like that. They just cannot imagine a good thing happening to him. And this guy was one of those guys. He could not imagine a good thing happening to him. And his imagination was continually defeatist. If there ever was a defeatist, I don't think I could find that scripture right now, but if somebody knows where it is, you might look it up. But if there ever was a defeatist, it was that guy. But Jesus imagined that defeatist not being defeatist. That's God. God always imagines the crooked straight, and the lame healed, and the brokenhearted comforted, and the unhappy happy, and the sick well, and so on. Jesus imagines the lost saved, and the hungry fed. Do you see that? Now, as Christians, you must learn also to imagine. Now, it isn't just a matter of going around imagining things. You could walk into a hospital, and I imagine everybody's well here, but that doesn't make them well. You can't just use it as a general trick. You must find out what God is thinking. But to do that, you must have an imagination. Because God will speak to you. He will speak to you because Jesus said, here, I'll read it to you. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. You see that? He showeth him all things that himself doeth. He showeth him all things that himself doeth. You say, but we're not the Son and He's the Father. But the Holy Spirit came and He was going to take what was Jesus's and declare it to us. So the Holy Spirit today is still showing the Son who shows us the Father. So we now know, and that's what Jesus is doing, interceding for you, to show us all things that the Father Himself doeth. It's the same thing, but listen. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now we know God's purpose. In showing us all things, it's to get the world to marvel, or to get His followers to marvel, that is, the people. He wants people to marvel. And so God begins to show to His servants things that He's about to do. Not in general, but specifically. It wasn't to every 90-year-old woman and every 100-year-old man that God came. It was just to Abraham and to Sarah. But Sarah was the least likely woman to imagine such a thing. Sarah could not imagine that. Neither could Abraham. But when Abraham was taken out to look at the stars of the sky and to imagine all the sands of the sea, and he said, so will your progeny be, so will your seed be, so will your family be, that many, he looked up, and at first he could not imagine that. Could not imagine that. He might have said, Do you mean God, just the Milky Way? You know, that he might have been able to imagine that. I'll have a pretty big family. Let's say that he didn't, not being, you know, a 20th century man and knowing all that we know, he might not have known how many stars were in the Milky Way, so he might have said something silly like that. But no, all he knew that the stars were innumerable. He didn't know how to count them, but he knew they were innumerable. And he knew especially the sand. He had walked a few of those sandy seas. In fact, he lived in the desert. So he knew there was a lot of sand out there. He had trudged most of it. And God said, that's how many your children are going to be. That's mind-blowing. You know, that blew his mind that that would be something so vast. And so Abraham did imagine it. And you know what? God reckoned it to him as what? Righteousness. He said, then you have become by your imagination, because I've spoken a word to you and you believed it through your imagination, you have become a son of God. Now, it says here, for as the Father raised up the dead, quickeneth them, even so the Son. That's not what I want. Jump down to something else. Well, you can just take my word for it. Yeah, verse 30, 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear. Now we talked about doing, now we're talking about hearing. I judge, and my judgment is just. So whatever Jesus spoke or whatever he did, he only spoke because he heard it, and he only did because he saw it. So you must learn to have such an imagination, to imagine what God is doing. Can you imagine yourself being a mighty man, a mighty woman of God? Can you imagine yourself that? I mean mighty, strong. You know, that's what God wants. But many of us can't imagine that. We can imagine someone else being a great, having a great healing ministry. Can you imagine yourself having a great healing ministry? Now, I'm not saying God is saying this to you, because he doesn't have everyone have such. But you must be able to imagine all kinds of things. Now, you don't know which ones are vain and which ones are true until God specifically speaks to you, but the imagination ought to be able to run the gamut, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Can you imagine you doing that? Can you imagine that you would be able to have a healing ministry? Raise your hand if you can imagine that. A mighty healing ministry, mightier than any that's ever been before. Some of you cannot imagine it. It's hard. I didn't say you were going to have one. I just said, imagine it. It's too hard, all right? Can you imagine spending an hour a day in prayer? Can you imagine an hour a day in prayer? You see, some people cannot imagine that. Some people just say it, but they really don't imagine it. You know, can you really imagine yourself understanding the Word of God? Can you imagine that? Praise God. Can you imagine yourself being used to speak to the President of the United States and bringing him, you know, closer to the Lord or something? See, that's harder to imagine.
It's harder.
Right. There are lots of things I can see that you will not imagine right now, and that limits God, because he wants to do extraordinary things through all of us. Now, I know he is not going to ask us all to do all those things. Even so, he wants to have your complete availability. Some people cannot imagine being saved. Some people cannot imagine that God loves them. Some people cannot imagine speaking in tongues. Some people cannot imagine themselves ministering, speaking maybe publicly. There are lots of things we can't imagine by so doing. Now, it's only imagination. You don't actually have to do it until God tells you to. But just by limiting your mind, you do not understand the Scripture, because the Scripture is a very big imagination book. As I said, every story is unimaginable. There's not one story here. You remember the servant, I think it was of Elijah. It might have been Elisha, but one of the two. And the city was surrounded by the foreign army. And the servant came to the master and said, you know, Master, we're outnumbered. What are we going to do? And he said, we're not outnumbered. Now, that prophet had a big imagination. He imagined that there was an invisible force bigger than the visible force that was around him. He imagined for every soldier out there, there were three, 17-foot tall angels, behind them. I don't know what he actually imagined, but he imagined something to that effect, that the army that's for us is greater than the army that's for them. Can you imagine that? That's what you were reading when you read Psalm 90. God was trying to get you to imagine yourself surrounded by a God under whose arms you were, resting and so on and so forth. You must imagine that. So God wants you to imagine the Word. Now I'm going to share something that I think you need to do to imagine all these scriptures, and I could just go through the whole of the Bible and show you that every story is a matter that's impossible to imagine for the natural man. Every story is intended... Now listen, this is very important because this does not seem right. Every story is intended to go against your natural imagination. Every story, whether it be creation or resurrections or eating or anything, whatever it is, every story, every single story that's recorded was intended to actually go against your natural imagination and to pose to you another way of looking, to show you something heavenly or spiritual or invisible so that you could repent and turn around and think in a new way to renew your mind, to renew your mind, to renew your thinking, to change your thinking. And if you don't laugh, now I don't mean physically laugh, but laugh in the sense of that's impossible. If you don't say to yourself, that's incredible, I can't believe that, that's hard to imagine. If you don't do that, you haven't read. You have not read the scriptures until some such thing like that comes forth. It might be crying, it might be laughing, but whatever it is, it's unimaginable. I can't imagine God. I took a word to a brother today, and the brother wept and cried because it was so wonderful, it was hard to imagine. It was so good, it was hard to imagine. God's word always comes to give us a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things. So write this down if you do take notes. First of all, imagine the impossible. This is how you imagine the Word. Step one is to imagine the impossible, because the Word is always impossible. Imagine the impossible. For Sarah, that meant to imagine that as an 89-year-old woman, or 90-year-old woman, that she would bear a son. Actually, 89, she would conceive. For Daniel in lion's den, it would be, what would he imagine? That those lions would eat him, right? Well, that was what the natural man would imagine. But Daniel had a different imagination, didn't he? He looked up to God and he said, God, what do you see? Because I don't think I see what you see. And God says, he said, do you see these lions? And God said, I see these lions. He said, do you see these lions eating me? No, I do not see those lions eating. Whew. Praise the Lord. Because he didn't know what God saw. And it's important to find out what God sees in a given situation. Now, so the first thing in every story in the book is to imagine the impossible. And don't finish reading until you see it's impossible. Don't think you understand anything until you see it's impossible. Remember Nicodemus, when he faced Jesus, said, how can a man be born again? Does he get into his mother's womb again? He was trying to imagine what Jesus was saying, and he couldn't. He had a natural mind. He was trying to put into his natural mind a supernatural thought. And every time it jars the mind, doesn't it? He could not understand what Jesus was talking about because spiritual things are not discerned by the natural man. All right? So every saying and every deed and every story is meant to show you the impossible. Let's do a few just so I think you get the point, but let's make sure you've got it, that every story is this way. Let's just think of some of these stories. Moses in the Red Sea. Could you imagine Moses, that you're at the Red Sea? Indeed he could. That was easy to imagine. There he was. That wasn't hard. Could you imagine Pharaoh coming down and cutting you up? And yes, I can imagine that. Can you imagine Pharaoh taking you back as prisoners? I can certainly imagine that. Can you imagine running like mad and Pharaoh chasing you down? I can certainly imagine that. Can you imagine yourself becoming frightened. I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Can you imagine yourself, on and on and on, fighting? Yes, I can imagine fighting. But can you imagine this Moses? Can you imagine right now doing nothing and praising me? Just closing your eyes to Pharaoh and what he's doing and just praising me and having a good time. I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine that. Because he did not know what God knew, that God would make a way. And when you begin to imagine what God imagines, then incredible things open up, like Red Seas. That was unimaginable. Nobody has ever imagined such a thing. You remember this morning in the gospel, Elijah imagined it, and then Elisha imagined it. They could imagine God doing that, but that was unimaginable. That was something that blows the mind, as we say. All right, another one, Elijah and Baal. Imagine having 850 Baal worshippers on this side and only one Elijah on that side. Can you imagine coming out of that contest the winner? It's just hard. Again, you know, situation. And remember, Baal is the god of lightning and thunder. And now we've got Baal on his mountain, Mount Carmel. It was on Baal's mountain, the god of thunder and rain, and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and Baal is the god of rain. And Elijah comes and challenges Baal on his own mountain, in his own territory, with 850 prophets on his side and no one on his side. That is unimaginable. The odds are incredible. Isn't that exciting? This is all to build your faith. You see, this really builds faith and causes you not to regard what you see, but to look into the invisible world, which is unimaginable. Can you imagine the kids in the fiery furnace not being burned up? Can you imagine being put in a furnace and not being burned up? More than that, can you imagine someone else getting in that furnace on purpose, who wasn't, you know, forced to go in there? And on and on and on. Every story is the same, and it goes on into the New Testament. All right? So the first thing to do is imagine the word and just sort of state it. Imagine the impossible. When you're imagining the word, the first thing to do is imagine the impossible. The second thing is, don't imagine, but allow yourself to reject it. Now, Sarah did it by laughing. She rejected that. But now, most Christians, if they ever imagined the impossible, then immediately they would find themselves on the other side. Because if God said I was going to have a healing ministry, my next reaction would be, and I'd have to allow this, no. And that's true in every story in the Bible. In every story in the Bible, Moses says, I can't preach. I can't imagine that. Now, he got away with that, didn't he? Don't you think God should have spanked him for saying, I can't preach? Or Sarah for laughing? Why didn't God say, you know, now, Sarah, because you laughed, I was going to give you that child. Now, I'm not going to give you that child. Can't you? That's what I would do. I would say, Sarah, because you laughed. All right, now, I don't take that kind of laughter. But God did not do that because he knows you're going to laugh. He knows you're going to laugh. It takes no imagination to laugh. It takes no imagination to say no. It takes no imagination to say I won't. It takes no imagination to say I can't. And God wants you to do that. You know why? Because God's going to get glory from your I can't, from your laugh, from your rejection, from your negative. So first of all, imagine the impossible. Now, if you don't imagine the impossible, then you don't have to reject him. But you'll never grow in faith until you learn to say, no, that can't happen. I won't be well. I can't get well. I can't pray for someone else and they'll be healed. I don't know how to get saved. All that natural reaction, God not only knows you'll do it, he wants you to do that. He expects you to do that. That's why he wrote the story. And many of us are afraid to let our natural reaction come forth, but in every case in the Bible, they did. Their natural reaction came forth. That's exactly why those stories are written like that. God knows. God understands. And God knows that you're going to think, I can't do that. And that's why he always, when he comes, he's always ahead of you. He's always ahead of you, and he knows you're going to be afraid, so he always comes and says, fear not. he knows you're going to be afraid, you know. Whatever he says, fear not, you know. I mean, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, and then he comes down and says, fear not, you know. I mean, that's impossible not to be afraid. You know, they don't know what's going on. They're afraid. Do you begin to understand? You know, don't think when God says fear not, he means fear not. What he means is you're afraid and admit it. I don't know how to say this second one, but maybe admit it. Allow yourself to reject it. Admit, in all honesty, that it's impossible. Just admit it. It's impossible. You say fear not. You know, and it's just the opposite. Your whole flesh, now just the natural in you. Of course, the spiritual man in you will say yay. But the natural man in you, if you've got a natural man, and if you're a born-again believer, you still have a natural man. The natural man in you every time is going to say nay. You know why God wants you to do that? So he can crucify it. If you don't say nay, it won't come out in the light. He won't be able to crucify it. He wants you to come out and say, I wouldn't be as kind as that. I don't think I would think of that. I can't do that. You know, God knows all these reactions. And he wants you to do it. So this is how to read the Bible. Imagine the word. The first thing is imagine the impossible. The second thing is allow yourself to state or to say or to think in some way that is honest, no, or I reject, or I can't, or something like that. Now, don't be afraid to do that. Don't be so pious that you won't do that. You say, if God says, don't deny me, what does Peter do? He denies him. Remember, he said, I won't do it. Peter thought, Jesus said, it's impossible that you won't deny me. And Peter says, I won't deny you. But see, Jesus was right. He would deny him. And he knew that. So when Peter said, I won't deny you, even though everyone else will fall away. I mean, these other disciples may, you know, but not me, Peter. You know, and he says, well, okay, Peter, for that saying, you know, you'll deny me three times. He could have said the same for all of them. But you know, it just so happens I looked up into heaven. I said, what about that, Father? You know, and Jesus already knew, you know, three times. Oh, okay. Peter, three times tonight you'll deny me. Oh, no, I can't imagine that. I denying my Lord? I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-speaking, Bible-carrying Christian. I can't imagine denying my Lord after all he's done for me. Now, can you imagine that? We all do that. We all make very bold statements like that. That's wonderful. That's something impossible. Just imagine the impossible. God knows that you really can do all things, that is, in the spirit. But in the natural, no. In the natural, you can't do it. But in the spirit, you can do it. That's the division, isn't it? But this is how the Bible works. The Bible was intended to bring out your natural reaction. The next thing to do is then, after, you could call this confessing. Maybe this is the best way to say it. Confess your unbelief. Confess my unbelief. Now, Sarah said, I didn't laugh, you know, but she did. So go ahead and confess your unbelief. I did laugh. I did laugh. The next thing to do, number three, is picture Jesus doing it. Imagine Jesus doing it. Imagine Jesus doing it. Imagine Jesus doing it. All right? That's the third thing to do. Let's say someone's sick. And the verse comes to you, I can do all things, or whatever. Can you imagine you doing it? No. But can you imagine Jesus doing it? Yes, I can. Yes, now there, I can imagine Jesus doing it. Now that's better. Because I just laughed. So Sarah could have imagined someone else doing it. But she couldn't imagine herself doing it. Well, that's all right. God knows that. So the next thing to do in the Bible is always imagine, that is, look up into the invisible realm. And just as Jesus imagined the Father, so you imagine Jesus doing it. If it's a word from the Lord. We're talking about a word from the Lord. Imagine Jesus doing it. And the next step is, once you imagine Jesus doing it, it gives you a great deal of comfort. The next thing is, imagine Jesus doing it in you. Imagine Jesus doing it in you. In me. imagine Jesus doing it in me. Now that is a real exercise of imagination. But if you do the third step right, if you really can imagine Jesus doing it, then you know that Jesus is in you, and it won't be hard to imagine the next step. It's hard the first time you hear it. It's hard to imagine you being a mighty woman of God, a mighty man of God, doing whatever it is that God would have you do. But it isn't so hard to imagine Jesus doing it, and that's why all those stories are written. Really, the whole New Testament is written so that you can imagine it. That is exactly why the New Testament is written. It's written because Jesus is the image of the living God. Jesus is what God is like. I've never looked up into heaven. No man has ever seen God. But Jesus, who's in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. So He has come down so that we can imagine heaven. He said, if you've seen Me, Philip, you've seen the Father. So that helps my imagination. As I imagine Jesus doing it, you could even put another step in there, imagine the disciples doing it, I suppose. Or imagine some other saint doing it. But eventually you want to get around to imagine you doing it, because the Word is for you. You want to personalize the Word of God. Now again, I didn't say you would do everything. Just imagine yourself doing it. You don't have to do everything that's in the Scripture. In fact, God won't have you do everything. You just play a role. But it is exciting beyond measure. I try to imagine myself being Elijah, picking up that robe and hitting the river. I just couldn't imagine myself doing that. I could not imagine myself doing it. I laugh when I hear that. That seems absurd, but I can imagine Elisha doing it, and I can imagine certain people doing it. I just can't imagine me doing it. But then when I begin to imagine Jesus doing it, then I begin, it just comes real slow, it begins to renew my mind a little bit. I begin to think, maybe I could do it. You see that? Maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do that. That's the way the Word works. You see how the Word is building my faith? The Word is building my faith. First it states the impossible, I imagine it. Then I react to it, oh no, Lord. Then I imagine Jesus doing it, and next I imagine myself doing it. Now this is the next step. After that step, no more imagination. That imagination has done its work. Now say it out loud. Say it out loud, and or sing it. That is, confess it with your mouth in one way or another. Confess or sing or say the impossible. Now, this is really exciting, because imagine, like Elisha did, going up to a stream, and if he didn't do this, it wouldn't do any good if it was just in his head. But he could imagine himself doing it, so he went up the stream and said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And he said it out loud. Or Paul once said, "I perceive, that is, I imagine in my mind, I can see in my mind, I can see in my mind's eye that you have faith, stretch out your hand." Now Jesus had a tremendous imagination because he could perceive or look into through the imagination. He wasn't a mind reader. He was not a mind reader. He wasn't picking up vibes. That's satanic. But Jesus saw into heaven and saw what God saw and then spoke it. Because he could imagine God healing that brother, and he could imagine that brother stretching forth his hand to be healed. Now that's imagination. So God wants you to begin to practice this. This is fun. I think you'll have a lot of fun doing this, beginning to go back and imagine yourself doing all these things, whether you're actually going to do them or not. Just start imagining them and then speak them out and see how funny they sound. You know, imagine yourself, because you're never going to understand how great this God is. And we know that's what God wants to do. Can you imagine yourself, for example, always rejoicing? This is one that took me several years to get. Imagine yourself never being, I don't want to say depressed. Yeah, maybe I do. Yeah, imagine yourself never being depressed. Can you imagine that? No. But doesn't the Bible say, rejoice in the Lord most of the time? The Bible says always. Now that is unimaginable. Now if it had said most of the time, I would have had no problem. But you know, when I read that Bible, I didn't read it with my pious mind, my natural religious mind. I read it in the right way. I read it and it said, always. I said, rejoice in the Lord always. Maybe rejoice doesn't mean rejoice, I said. Maybe always means sometimes, you know. But when you finally get it down that rejoice means rejoice, and in the Lord means in the Lord, and always means always, you've got it. Now you've got it. It's impossible. And then you think to yourself, now you've got to imagine this. So bring it into imagination. You begin to think of yourself in 100 situations rejoicing. And at first it's easy because you try to think of the easy ones. But after a period of time, you begin to think of impossible ones or harder ones. You say, I can't imagine that. If I were in a wheelchair, if I were a paraplegic, if I had a stuttering problem, if I this, if I that, if I this, if I that, I couldn't rejoice. That makes sense. That's according to the natural thinking. But the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine there is no situation in all the world where you would not be able to rejoice? Can you imagine there's any situation that could ever come up that you could not imagine yourself rejoicing? Or in the world you have tribulation, troubles. Think of all the troubles that come to you, and then imagine yourself being of good cheer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you imagine yourself being of good cheer? You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? No, you cannot imagine that. I can tell by the look on your faces, you can't imagine that. But God intends to change your thinking so He can change your life so you can go on. So imagine yourself, all the words of Scripture, all the stories of Scripture are meant to come against your mind and give you a whole new picture of reality. You are not in reality until you are in the Word. The Word tells you what reality is, not your eyes. The eye does not tell you what reality is, but the Word of God gives you the true picture of reality. You see sick people, you see troubles, you see all kinds of things, but God sees opportunities, God sees manifestations, God sees healing, God sees wholeness, God sees salvation. God imagines something. But man imagineth a vain thing. All the imaginations of the natural man are vain. But by the Word of God, we now begin to see. We now begin to imagine. We now begin to picture ourselves, God, and reality, and the devil in a new way. Some people imagine the devil all-powerful. I don't. I don't imagine the devil is all-powerful. But some people do, even if they know the Scripture that he's not, they still imagine he is. You can tell by the way they're afraid. You can tell by the way they feel cheated in this world, as though one thing were better than another. But my God said that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. So I can't imagine being cheated. It's not possible. I know how I used to think. I do not think in the same way I used to think. It is not possible for me to think I'm being cheated. That thought cannot come into my mind. Or at least it has great difficulty. I cannot imagine anyone cheating me. Now, I'm talking about in a real way. I can imagine somebody cheating me. But what I mean is, really being cheated, what I imagine is when they cheat me, God will have a better plan and, you know, I'll be blessed. That's what I imagine. Because I've learned to imagine in the way that Jesus imagines. That's how he imagined it, and that's how I imagine it. Now, that may take you years to learn to imagine. The louder you laugh, the quicker you'll learn. The louder you laugh and the faster you laugh, the quicker you'll learn. Now, Sarah laughed when God said, you will have a child, and it'll be a boy, and his name is going to be Isaac. You know, now that is really funny. Because God not only said you'll have a son, but he's going to be the one, and it's also going to be a boy, and his name is going to be, you know, the whole thing. That is really unimaginable. But it came to pass because God said it would. And it wasn't because of Sarah's faith. Sarah didn't have faith, at least not for a couple months. And then she began to have faith. All right? The last thing to do after you say it out loud and say to yourself, I can imagine you will be healed, or be you healed, or I will have the finances, or I can work hard, I'm not lazy, or whatever the thing is. Just begin to say the word out loud. Begin to repeat the story. Every time you read a story, find the impossible and then say it. Imagine what's impossible. Let your natural reaction come to it and say, I can't do it or I can't believe it. Then imagine Jesus doing it. Then imagine Jesus doing it in you. Then begin to say it. Begin to sing it. One of the things is that God is all my riches, you know. So I can sing that. I'm the richest man, you know. I could just begin singing that, particularly if I had the thought, the number two, that I wish I had a little more money. Do you know, I don't think I've ever been short of money. I mean, you know, since I've become a Christian, I always have the right amount. Why? Because I'm the richest man, you know, and I can just begin to sing that way because I imagine Jesus would never cheat me. I cannot imagine Him ever cheating me. And as I look back over my life, I recount my life and I say, see, He didn't cheat me there, He didn't cheat me there, He didn't cheat me there. Someone else could look at it and imagine something else. Gee, you were cheated there. You go to church every Sunday? Boy, you were cheated. I go golfing on Sunday. Now, they imagine me being cheated. Some people could imagine me having a very boring life, spending hours and hours in prayer and ministering to people, you know, all hours of the day and night. Some people would imagine that's not much fun. Well, it might not be to them, but it is to me. I enjoy it. I love it. I love troubles and problems and things. I do. Peggy, my wife is here, so she can tell you. I actually enjoy it, don't I? Why? The only reason I would enjoy that is because I believe Jesus is in everything I do and think and say and so on. That's why I enjoy it. Now, there are moments when I get down, but my imagination then says to me, no, Jim, sometimes I walk in and I'm afraid just like anybody else, but immediately the thought comes to me, wait a minute, did you forget the scripture? All things work, oh, and immediately my mind is renewed. Immediately I repent and I say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm sorry, I admit it, I confess it, praise the Lord. I see you doing it. I see me doing it. I can say it. I can sing it. And I'm all right. And then I will see it. I will see it. After I've learned to say it, the next thing is, after confessing this and saying it, then I will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now again, I'm talking about general things here, and you don't know which ones are specific. Some people read the story of Abraham, and then they'll run off and say, you know, because I'm 90, I can have a baby or something like that. That's not what it says. That was specifically to Abraham. But you should at least imagine yourself being able to do it. Could you ladies imagine that? We got a bunch of doubters here. Bunch of doubters. Now, if God wanted to, could you? See, then I got a few more nods. You know, could Jesus do that? Yeah. And could Jesus do that in me? Yes. Then we can begin to think, no, He could. You see, you have to build up your faith. Now, He isn't going to ask you to do it, but you must be open to whatever God wants to do, because He's going to ask you to do something impossible, because all of His words are impossible. You cannot show me a story or a saying in the Bible that is not impossible to the natural man. When He says, for example, in here, love one another as I have loved you, that's impossible. Now, that's something given to all of us. Can you imagine loving all Christians as Jesus loves you? Husbands, can you imagine loving your wives as Christ loved the church? Wives, can you imagine submitting to your husbands as unto the Lord? Children, can you imagine? And so on. All of these demand imagination, because not one of them is a reality to us until we enter into the world of the Bible, until we enter into the Word of God, until we enter into the invisible realm. We will speak into being worlds that do not exist. We are bringing to pass the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Just as God spoke in the beginning and said, in the beginning was the Word, and God spoke it and said, let there be light, and there was light, so also you are bringing to pass the kingdom of God. Now, God did it, but you're the one that's using your mouth to bring forth the kingdom of God. Did you know that? You're actually bringing to earth, let thy kingdom come. You know what you're praying when you pray that? You're really praying, let thy kingdom come through me, through my words, through my life. That's how God brings the kingdom to pass. Now, I know it's not going to be finished through you, that God Himself will come down to finish it off. But He brings it forth in a first fruits way through you, because Jesus is in you to do that. Isn't that exciting? So this is a way to begin to imagine the scriptures, and this will help you in looking at someone who's sick. Ask God, God, how do you see that person? I can imagine them well. Is there a scripture for that? You know, is there a word for that? How do you see them? And pray until you hear the Scripture, until you hear the Word of God, until you see the invisible. When you see it in the invisible, then you will say it in the visible, and it will come to pass. When you see it in the invisible, then you will say it in the visible, and it will come to pass. That's creative. That's the power of God. That is a very big work. I hope you're ready for work. Let's roll up our sleeves and gird up our loins and be ready to go, because God has a lot for us to do. This is what, Bob, your testimony certainly of this girl, many people may have wanted to pray for her, but they just could not. Their imaginations would rise up and say, she is in so deep, I can't imagine it. But Bob was foolish enough to say, I can imagine it. Even though it doesn't seem right, it even seems like I might be doing this for nothing. It seemed to my natural mind. Yet I can imagine this girl healed and whole and serving the Lord Jesus. Not only freed from, but also becoming a mighty woman of God. That takes imagination, and that's what God wants when we pray. Don't imagine someone just set free from some snare. That doesn't take all imagination, although sometimes a lot. Imagine them coming all the way. That's impossible. That's impossible. Don't imagine a light thing. Imagine a great thing. Then God gets more glory. God gets more glory. I've sometimes wondered, Lord, I don't think I prayed high enough. Because sometimes I get my prayers answered and I realize I should have prayed higher. I pray bigger. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself for how small I've prayed. Oh, I am a lot. Many times I'm just ashamed that I had no imagination for something. And I didn't. It hindered me. My imagination can hinder me from believing something. And so I have to encourage myself, and you have to encourage yourself, and we come together to encourage each other. Can you imagine that tonight is your night to be saved? Can you imagine that tonight is your night to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine that tonight you will receive a ministry from the Lord? Can you imagine that tonight your body will never be sick again? Can you imagine that from this hour on, you will rejoice forevermore? Can you imagine that? If you can't, you're not in the world of the Bible. Because that's the way the Bible imagines. That's the way God sees things. That's what you need to speak and to believe and to say, and we'll see it. Praise the Lord.